It's that time. Here we go. Arthur Schwartz, our very own food maven, on Robin Hood Radio. Hello, very own food maven.
Oh, very young, huh?
Oh, very young, very young.
Oh, good.
How is our very young food maven?
Okay.
You're the youngest food maven.
I'm feeling so old, not just because I'm feeling old, but because when you get older, you sort of, you know, relive your life in a way. And I'm remembering things that I've forgotten, and I'm happy to remember them again. For instance, Naples is to peppers what Bologna is to tortellini. I'm laughing at my own. It's not my joke, it's a contemporary Neapolitan joke.
Right.
Yeah.
And
so
also,
this is,
you know, some of these things, old or young, need to be remembered and restated so that
if you were in Naples or anywhere near, or actually anywhere in the south of Italy for that matter, right now you would be wallowing in peppers, in ripe peppers, usually red, but they can, of course, be orange or yellow. I think Americans are more enamored of the multicolors of peppers than Italians are, who were very happy to have fully mature, very sweet red peppers. I, in fact, you know, I'm very particular about everything, I gotta say.
No.
No, kidding. But I have given in to red peppers from Mexico during the winter, because I do love red peppers, and I do find that the Mexican red peppers are pretty good. But the other day, I bought some local red peppers, which are not always so good, but these were so sensational that it brought me back to a dish of peppers I had in Calabria years ago, where I insisted they must have added sugar to the peppers because it was all so sweet. But the onions were sweet, too. So the other day, I made a mess of peppers. By the way, there's a word for mess of peppers in Italian, peperonata. But what I call peperonata, and most Southern Italians would call peperonata, is not what I made. But it was a mess of red and yellow peppers and onion and potato. And it was as sweet as candy. No sugar added. I must say, a part of this is really good olive oil. So I have really good olive oil, which I heat up in a pan. I first put in the peppers, and it cut into strips. Of course, by the way, in preparing peppers for the pan, make sure you cut out the white ribs, because they can and often do have a bitter edge to them.
Do you remember, just a quick interjection, but do you remember when the pith started being included in things? Because it just really changed the taste, and it was yucky.
The pith of what? Of an
you
orange.
Name it. It was just suddenly, you know, instead of saying cut it out, it was like, oh, leave it there. I'm like, ugh.
Oh, well, I do cut it out.
Yeah, no, I cut it out.
By the way, I enjoy cutting peppers the way I cut them.
Right.
Even though on TV and watching other people who cook cut peppers, they cut them in a different way, which is I cut them in half. Through the stem and bottom end, and then with my knife, with the point of my knife, I sort of fillet the pepper.
Right.
Cut out the core, and by the way, shake out the seeds. You could just tap it on the side of the sink and the seeds will fall out. And then cut it into strips. And as you go, there may be one or two ribs that you have to cut out, the white part, and you do as you go. And I cut them into either, you know, if I have the patience and the thought to do it that day, I'll cut them into quarter-inch strips. But that takes some effort, whereas half-inch strips doesn't. So
it's strips. You cut them from
north to south strips.
Right.
And that's it. And now you're ready to cook them in a skillet. And by the way, Pip, I meant to say this at the top. The word for peppers, sweet peppers, in Italian is peperoni. pepperoni is not a sausage.
Right.
Not a dried sausage, not a fresh sausage. I have never encountered any sausage called pepperoni. You can, of course, have a sausage that is essentially what we call pepperoni, which just means peppers in Italian. And that would be mainly in Calabria, but not strictly in Calabria. They make a slim dried sausage that's seasoned with a hot pepper. Calabria is known for, Calabrians are known for loving their hot pepper. But not, sweet pepper is more Naples area, Campania. And I have to say, I looked in my book this morning, Naples at Table, and found that I have a mini cookbook of Neapolitan pepperoni recipes. I'm not making them regularly as some of them I used to, but what I am doing is what I did the other day, which is peppers, onions, and potatoes. And I'm into potatoes lately.
Right. There's something about this time of year that's...
potato weather?
Kind of.
I can see that.
This is something that we don't go into, but they're all nightshades, which are not bad for you, despite what... I mean,
sounds terrible.
Well, I love the sound of nightshades.
So what's the qualities of nightshades?
What is the quality of a red pepper?
The only thing I know about them is I think people with arthritis aren't supposed to eat them.
How would you describe a pepper? Because that's the quality of a nightshade.
How would I describe a pepper?
Exactly. But you're just asking me how to that's what a nightshade is. How would you describe the quality of a potato? How would you describe a daffodil? Moving on, but the point is that it's that band of, what is it, flavor, nutrients, that's what a nightshade is.
Well, I mean, peppers are very high in vitamin C and vitamin A.
Okay.
Red peppers. Green peppers are different. Green peppers are unripe peppers, and they are disdained in many quarters. I saw a video with Nigella Lawson, you know, the British food writer, and beauty. You know, she's very sexy with food. She eschews green pepper. She thinks it's one of the most disgusting foods. I don't know about that. I don't think so. I like green peppers sometimes. But green peppers you can get relatively inexpensively all year long because they are unripe peppers. Red peppers are fully ripe peppers. And since Mexico domesticated the pepper, I figure peppers from Mexico are going to be pretty good, and they usually are. But peppers at this time of the year in the Northeast, meaning on the cusp of fall, are, you know, it's like their last dance before they die back. And they are really at their height of sweetness. And so I'm busy making peppers every day. By the way, when I was on the keto diet, meaning whatever that means, I ate a lot of peppers because peppers are one of the allowed vegetables. A medium red pepper, meaning a ripe pepper, could be orange, could be yellow, has like 25 calories. So very low in calories, high in vitamins, and good fiber, a couple of grams of fiber per pepper. So altogether, they're a wonderful food. And I'm happy to be cooking them like silly right now. So this morning I enumerated the recipes I wanted to talk about on the air, and then I went into my book and discovered there were so many more that are part of my regular repertoire. Well, let's start off with what I've been doing, which is a little different than what I used to do. I was aiming to cook my potatoes in the same pan with the peppers and onions without cooking them ahead. Now, the first time I did this, I allowed the potatoes to get a little bit brown, and the peppers, hence, a little, and onions, a little bit browned. Then I did it again without that, and I don't know. I like them both. The browning, of course, gives another little edge of flavor. But anyway, heat up enough olive oil to cover the bottom of your skillet. Now, if I was only going to be two peppers, which is just enough for two people, the first time I did it, I think I did four peppers. So two, let's say for two peppers, I use my a 10-inch skillet, cover the bottom with a good olive oil, get it a little heated, add in the strips of pepper, and sauté them, tossing them around in the oil, and also sprinkling a little salt on them for 2 or 3 minutes. And then, and this is over high heat, then add one for two peppers, one medium onion, also sliced, cut in half, peeled, sliced. Toss that around with the peppers for a while, 4 or 5 minutes, until the peppers and the onion wilt. They're not going to get tender, but they will wilt a little. And then add potato. I used about 8 ounces for two people, about could have been 10 ounces even of potato, two medium potatoes peeled. You don't have to peel them if they're thin-skinned potatoes. And then I cut each one into about 8 pieces, chunks. Cut each one in half, and then crosswise in 3 or 4 chunks. So put the chunks of potato in the pan with the sizzling onion and peppers, a little more salt, some freshly ground pepper, and then keep tossing the potatoes and the onions and whatever just for another 2 or 3 minutes. And then, this is something different for me, I guess I was in a hurry, and then it ended up to be a good thing to do. I covered the pan, and I put it over low heat and let it cook for about 10 minutes, stirring it up once during the 10 minutes, and until the potatoes were tender. Now, if I let the potatoes cook until they start browning a little bit, this probably wouldn't take quite as long, but I do like covering the pan. It's sort of, I don't know, everything melts in together and is really delicious. So that's all I can say. Okay. Salt and pepper is the only thing you need. However, you might want to add an herb, like, you know, just some chopped parsley, basil if you have any, chives if you like. If you have a garden with herbs, you might, you'll know what to do.
Right.
So that's what I've been doing. And you know what? This all is a childhood memory. You know, one of my strongest food memories is going to the Feast of San Gennaro and other Italian street festivals and eating sausage and peppers. So I, whenever I make sausage, I have to make peppers and onions to go with it. So that's my standard. But, you know, this also goes well with anything. Any kind of grilled meat. We had it with roast chicken the other day. And don't stint on the olive oil is all I have to say. Now, what in other seasons, what I was obsessed with was peperonata, which means a mess of peppers. But in this case, with tomato. And I have to say that tomatoes having an acid edge to them really changes the quality of the dish altogether. But I like it. You know, it has a more sweet and sour quality, not really sour, when made with tomatoes. But basically, it's the same thing. You take your, you cook the, I always start off with the peppers, and then I add the onion. And when they're wilted, I'll then add some crushed tomatoes. I don't buy crushed tomatoes. I crush a few canned whole tomatoes in my hand right into the pan. You don't need a lot. I mean, I wouldn't make this in just two peppers because this holds up very well in the refrigerator. And besides that, you can eat it as a vegetable as it is. It also is wonderful with pasta. So let's say for four peppers, you're going to have at least 1/4 cup of olive oil, and four peppers, and let's say two medium onions, and sauté that all together for a few minutes until they're all wilted. Add your tomatoes, let's say a half a 28-ounce can of plum tomatoes, preferably San Marzano, but I won't get particular here, and salt and pepper. And as an herb, I like to put in basil at the very end. If you don't have basil, parsley, but put it in at the very end. And then cover the pan and stew. You're stewing the peppers in tomato. And a lot of liquid will develop, which is delicious. And you'll want to eat this with bread to dunk into the tomato onion liquid and tomato onion pepper liquid.
And I
can make a meal out of that. Give me a piece
of
cheese.
Sure. And you hold on to the liquid. What's your liquid position? You do both, or what?
What do you mean?
It makes, as you said, it makes a lot of liquid.
Yeah.
And how far down do you cook it?
Oh, I don't cook it down. I mean, only until the peppers are tender.
Okay.
I'm not cooking it down because there's no need to cook it down. I haven't added that much tomato. For four peppers, I'm adding maybe three.
Okay.
At four canned tomatoes squished in my hand. But it'll make enough peppered tomato onion liquid that you're going to want to mop it up with bread. Or, as I said earlier, it's wonderful on pasta. I wouldn't put this on spaghetti. I would rather have it on some kind of macaroni.
Right.
Or maybe there's a shape called casareccia, which is a twist of macaroni, which we happen to like right now, mainly because I bought a lot of it. it was a Costco special. So, you eat what you have. So I like that. But no, any tubular macaroni, like rigatoni, would be perfect, penne, any of those, or even fanciful shapes like butterflies, farfalle. That would be very good, mixed in with your peppers and onions. By the way, so you can make this more elaborate even by adding olives. By the way, the flavoring profile for Naples with peppers includes olives, usually Gaeta olives, which, by the way, are freestone olives, so they're easy to pit and chop up if you want. Capers, not the ones packed in vinegar, but the ones packed in salt, which you have to rinse off the salt, and then I always soak them for at least 10, 15 minutes in cold water, drain them, rinse them off again, because you don't want the salt as much as you want the flavor of the caper. And I don't like the tiny ones. I just went through a batch of tiny ones, and I decided I'd rather have the big ones, even if sometimes I have to chop them up. Anchovies, so capers, olives, anchovies, garlic, parsley. This is the flavor profile for cooking most kinds of peppers. So another one that I do, now this is a recipe or a way of doing it, it's more than a recipe, that I got from a favorite restaurant in Rome. It was a neighborhood restaurant in my friend Iris's neighborhood, and it was called Il Giardino. And there were several things I loved there, but everything was delicious. And some nights I would indulge, and they only had this at night. They had an antipasto table, a help-yourself antipasto table. And on the table were always peppers and or zucchini, sliced thin in long pieces, the peppers cut into quarters, and then both these vegetables topped with seasoned breadcrumbs and baked in the oven. I still do. I don't do it with zucchini very much, but I do it with peppers. And my crumbs are breadcrumbs. I use unseasoned breadcrumbs, and I season them myself. I make my own breadcrumbs. Sometimes I don't, but there's a bakery here in Brooklyn that makes very good breadcrumbs. So I use those breadcrumbs, and I put in chopped parsley, chopped garlic. If you like, you can even put in some oregano. Couple pinches, not a whole lot, and salt, pepper, and olive oil, and mix in the olive oil. And this will make sure that the crumbs, when they come out of the oven, are nice and crunchy and browned. And then you put a spoonful of the breadcrumbs over each section of pepper, of red pepper, and I cut them in, I would say, it depends on the pepper. You want at least, I would say, an inch and a half of pepper to put crumbs on. So put crumbs on, and then stick it in a 400-degree oven for at least 20 minutes, a half an hour. If you want to speed that up, you can make it a 450-degree oven. And if the edges of the peppers get a little black, that's good. A little char is good flavor in this case. And you can serve those as a side dish vegetable, but you can just have them as an antipasto also, you know, before the main works, whatever the main works are going to be.
It sounds really good.
Yeah. So the other, now the thing is, so sautéed peppers is one thing, but roasted peppers is another thing. And I do roast peppers frequently. These days I do it, I can do it on top of the stove over the flame. I even have a little gizmo, not a gizmo, it's a sheet of metal with punctured holes in it that's meant for roasting, and it has a grid of wire on top. It's meant for roasting vegetables on top of the stove, among other things that you might want to cook on top of the stove, like toast. But I, these days I put my peppers directly on the oven rack, preheated 450-degree oven, and usually in 20, most 25 minutes, I have enough black on the peppers to that they look like they're roasted peppers. When I remember and to do it, I turn them over at some point. But usually at 450, they're tender but not soft, and the skin is at least punctuated with black. As soon as they come out of the oven, literally with the tongs, I take them out of the oven and put them directly into a pot on top of the stove, cold pot, and cover the pot and let them cool down in the pot. They will steam while they're in the pot and get more tender than they are when they come out of the oven. So that's my roasted peppers. Now you've got the only work here is peeling the peppers.
All right, so wait, before we get to peeling.
Yes.
So my friend Barbara, this was 40 years ago, but she did that without she put it in a brown bag instead of a pot.
Right.
That
and some people put it in a plastic
acceptable?
Bag. Well, I don't trust brown paper bags.
No, I understand.
Anymore.
And 30 years ago, maybe.
Who knows what they put in brown paper
gotcha.
Bags.
Gotcha. Perfect. Okay.
And truthfully, the pot seems to me more efficient and cleaner anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I have a cast iron pot that's on top of my stove at all times because I use it so often, like almost every day. You know, it's my all-purpose boil, you know, for enough pasta for the two
exactly.
of us, the soup, for so many things.
Speaking of tradition, yeah.
Yes.
That's what a pot used to be on the stove for all purpose pot.
So I just pop it into my pot. I mean, that pot will hold four big peppers.
Right.
I do a lot of things with roasted peppers, including just eating them as is. You open them up, take out the seeds, take out the core. If you want, you can pull out the white ribs and fillet them, so to speak. Put them on a shallow dish and dress them with salt, pepper, and olive oil.
Yes.
And if you want, chopped garlic. And if you want, you put more of the Neapolitan seasoning, so to speak, olives and capers. All very delicious.
All sounding very delicious.
Yeah, roasted peppers. But the other thing that I do with roasted peppers is I make a Middle Eastern dish called mukhamara, which is a dip/spread of roasted pepper pureed with garlic, walnuts, a little bit of cumin. I put in cumin. Salt, of course, and an important essential ingredient, pomegranate molasses, which is a sweet and sour syrup from boiled down pomegranate juice, and that really gives it a zing. And the essential sweet and sour flavor profile. Now, I can buy pomegranate molasses in my neighborhood, actually, but if you can't, it's easily obtainable online, and I use it quite a lot. And I make mukhamara fairly often, certainly this time of the year. But, you know, even in the middle of the winter with Mexican peppers, it's delicious. And I use, for four medium peppers, I use a cup of walnuts, at least one, maybe two cloves of garlic, depending on the size. I grind up in my mini processor, I grind up the garlic and the walnuts first and then I add the peppers, and then I add 3 tablespoons for 4 peppers, 3 tablespoons of olive oil, 3 tablespoons of pomegranate molasses, and a little hint. If you measure out the oil first, the pomegranate molasses will just slide out of the spoon. 3 tablespoons of pomegranate molasses, let's say 1/2 teaspoon of cumin, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and a secret ingredient in my house is Aleppo pepper, which is a kind of crushed pepper that's a little bit sweet and a little bit hot. And if you don't have Aleppo pepper, I would just put in some hot pepper, some either crushed red pepper flakes or a big pinch of cayenne pepper, something to give it a little zing. And that's it. I whirl it in the food processor until it's smooth enough. And we eat it with crackers. We eat it with pita bread if I have any in the house. We eat it with vegetables as a dip. It's very healthy. Walnuts and peppers, what could be bad?
Exactly.
So I didn't even get through half my repertoire.
I know, and I just looked out at the clock, and it's amazing.
Maybe next week I'll talk about the king of all pepper dishes.
See what next week brings anyway.
Yeah, well, there'll still be peppers around.
Okay.
But
in that case, thank you very much for this
part one. You know, as I said, I can write a book on peppers alone.
Easily.
Yeah,
and
easily. I didn't realize that until this morning, though.
And I think it would be useful and appreciated. But that's another
story. All
right.
Well, anyway, until next week.
Peter Piper picked a pack of? No.
Pickled peppers. Oh, I didn't even do pickled peppers.
That's right.
And I do make pickled peppers.
All right, so that's next week. Right. Thank you. This has been the fun version of another fun version of Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Thank you so much.
Have a great week, everyone.
Arthur, and we will talk to you next week on Robin Hood Radio.